coming up on this edition of RCN Sports Talk. H.T. Woodson head coach Doug Craig talks about his program success and compares high school sports in Pennsylvania and the DMV. Andy Stevens and his Parkland Trojans starting five talk about another phenomenal season and their futures. Plus, our final look back at a great high school hoop season. These topics, trivia, and a special prize giveaway, and more coming up on tonight's edition of RCN Sports Talk.
Good evening, everyone, and happy Easter weekend to you. I'm Chris Michael. We're glad you could join us for this edition of RCN Sports Talk. We have some great guests lined up for tonight's program. First, we introduce the co-host of the program. Joe, you doing well? Ready for the holiday weekend?
I'm ready. It's Easter, and we're all ready to go. Got the grandchildren at the house, and it is lively.
All right. Say that. Speaking of your family, by the way, let's get to our leadoff guest here. Joining us via the phone lines, we have the head coach of H.D. Woodson down in the DMV.
W.T. Woodson.
Oh, yeah, you're right. W.T. Woodson. Well, H.D. Woodson, we were talking about him so much.
Yeah, I know.
I got him on
my
brain.
Right.
Apologies for that. But Mr. Doug Craig. Doug, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Hey, Chris. How are you doing?
Very good, good. Glad we could have you on the program here. I know Joe is dying to ask you a ton of questions. I just have a couple, though, I want to hit right off the bat. And one of them, of course, you've had a lot of success down in the Virginia region. But I want to ask, because you also spent a lot of time here in the Lehigh Valley, I wanted to have you compare and contrast Eastern Pennsylvania high school sports versus the last 15 years that you spent down in the DMV region.
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously, it'd be tough to talk about some of the other sports, obviously, but basketball, I can speak to. DC's kind of, the DC area, the DMV is known, or the metro area is I would say, comparable to what you'd see in Philadelphia in District 1. A lot of high-level play, very good athletes, a lot of size. I think compared to the Valley is smaller, just a bigger metro area, just obviously a larger pool to choose from. You get some more of the high-level kids. I saw Parkland play this year, very good team. Couple guys that'll play at the next level, at the Division I level. I think the Stout kid signed with Lafayette, and Iorio kid is a legitimate Division I player. When you start talking about the Catholic League teams down in D.C. that can recruit openly, like a college program, Paul VI finished fifth in that league this year, and they had a kid committed to Louisville as a McDonald's All-American, another kid committed to Pitt, and that's just their senior class, 6'9" and 6'8". I mean, it's like a Roman Catholic. It's like a Newman Goretti at affiliate, maybe even a little bit better. But those top level Catholic League teams, the Mathas, the Gonzagas, those teams are real, real high level teams. I think the DC area, the kids maybe a little bit more skilled, maybe because I think they see that level of competition year round. Even for us, when we play summer league, we go up to the Matha to play summer league. We see the Matha, we see Gonzaga, so our kids are used to kind of seeing that level of team. Where I think sometimes the teams in the Valley just don't get that kind of level consistently. So I think it's harder for them to replicate. So I think the skill level tends to be a little bit higher, and maybe there's some higher level athletes just because of how many people live in the D.C. area. I've always thought the Valley kids maybe were a little bit more blue collar, a little more physical, kind of the nature of the area, I think, with that kind of blue collar background. But both have their strengths and weaknesses. I think a lot of people on the outside would probably tell you D.C. area is probably one of the top four or five in the country for basketball, particularly on the boys and girls side. I mean, it's pretty deep.
Yeah, Doug is a voice I'm sure you've heard before. Tell us a little bit about some of the things that you have to deal with down there. And I know that we've had it up here. They're always talking about recruitment and losing athletes and things of that sort. But I know that's a big part of what goes on down in your area. Tell us all a little bit about the AAU involvement and how the influence of those situations influences kids to go to schools.
Yeah, I think I think in basketball, that's becoming prevalent everywhere. I mean, you talk to other parts of the state of Virginia, they didn't have a lot of that kind of stuff in Norfolk and in Virginia. And now you start to see schools are popping up there and they're recruiting kids. I mean, it's open recruiting in the D.C. area. I mean, a kid can go to Dematha from Virginia, can cross the river, or go across town and play, can get on the metro and go over there and play. I think that's becoming more common everywhere. I think it's a learned behavior. I think, too, kids are transferring around. You see it on the college level. There were 800-some transfers last year in the Division I college level. You're starting to see that now in the high school, in the youth league, in the AAU. And I think that's a learned behavior by kids. I think it starts when they're young, when they're 9 or 10 years old, and they're not getting the number of shots or the AAU experience they want, so they bounce to the next team 2 months later, and then they bounce. And we're seeing a lot of that in high school with kids bouncing from school to school to school, you know, kids in 3 high schools in 4 years. And I think you're starting to see that now on the college level. I think it's all a learned behavior. And you know, I mean, if you have a really good eighth grader that lives in your school district, you know, if there's a kid, a really good eighth grader that lives in W.T. Woodson District, I got to go watch that kid play, because there's a good chance that kid may be at, you know, name the private school in the area that's going to recruit him and ask him to come play basketball and won't pay tuition to go to school. And it's just the reality of what it is. And, you know, some people like it, some people don't like it. I just feel like the one nice thing about being in a public school is it doesn't matter if we have the best players or the worst players, we're going to have 45 kids at tryouts. I don't have to recruit my team. So, you know, there's pluses, minus to everything. I think, you know, the guys on that side too, you know, they got to keep their kids every year, because if they don't get the shots they want or they don't get the experience they want, they're on to the next school. And it's just, I think it's the reality of coaching with today's youth and with these kids that have grown up being in the system where, you know, with travel ball and AAU ball, there's just so many teams. And if they don't get the experience they want, their parents are quick to move them to the next experience. I'm not always sure that's maybe what's best for the kids in the long run, but it's kind of the reality of what we're dealing with. And I think you're seeing that everywhere. I think that's across the board.
Now, some of the kids you played against this year, teams you played, you had some pretty good talent that you faced this year. Some of the guys that you played against, if you recall any names, where they're going, if some of them are going on to other schools, to colleges. Yeah. But giving us a little rundown on that.
Yeah, we scrimmaged Paul the Sixth early. They're literally 2 miles from our school. We scrimmage them every year. Glenn Ferrello does a great job over there. They have a very, very good program. They have 2 seniors. The one kid is the VJ King, 6'9", committed to Louisville. He's a senior. I believe he was selected from McDonald's All-American game. Outstanding player, you know, to play at all spots, score from all levels, after the 3-point line, can post and score. Yeah, he's been a high-level Division I recruit since he moved in from Ohio before his junior year, and I think he's considered one of the top 25-30 players in the country in the senior class. They also have another post player, 6'9", 6'10", committed to Pittsburgh, Corey Manigault. Big, strong, physical, can score around the basket, very talented with both hands, good player. In our league, over at Lake Braddock, you had James Butler, who's committed to the Naval Academy, 6'7", can score, average about 27 points a game this year. I thought we did a good job at home. We held him to 39. I thought we did a great job defensively on him. He's real good. You know, there's just so many kids, and you just see kids. We played St. John's out of D.C. who won the Catholic League this year.
Yeah.
They had 3 guys committed to Division I. Anthony Cowan, their point guard, is an outstanding player, committed to Maryland. You know, we made a run in the second half to get the game down to about 9, and then he personally went on like a 12-0 run to put the game away. I mean, he's hitting shots from 7 feet behind the line, and he's just it's very talented, can really, really play.
You also had that kid at West Springfield, the big guy.
Yeah, Lewis Jockham, who's uncommitted right now, but is going through the recruiting process, 6'9". He moved back to his public school, West Springfield, from Bishop O'Connell his junior year, and 6'9", 235, 240 pounds, very good defensive player, good passer, plays really hard, can score around the basket. You know, he's a low to mid Division I recruit, I think. You know, St. John's had a couple of years. Jeff Doughton is committed to Rhode Island, and Kalia Sykes, I think, just made a commitment to somewhere in the NEC or the MAC. I forget the school, but you just get used to it. You just see a lot of that in the D.C. area, where I think, you know, getting back to the original question, that's kind of different. We just see night in and night out, you just see college-level players, you know. Mm-hmm. The last few years, we were fortunate to have one who graduated, is now playing at Central Connecticut, Eric Bowles, and, you know, that's a lot of our success was having a player like that on the floor. There's just so many kids in the D.C. area. I mean, just night in and night out, you're just seeing really good players, kids that are going to play at the next level.
Well, you've had a couple kids go on Woodson went on into the Patriot League. Give us a couple of those names. People will probably be familiar with those.
Yeah, I think, when I was assistant at Woodson, Jose Olivero, who played at Lehigh, scored 1,800 points, was a two-time Patriot League first teamer, played professionally for about eight or nine years, is now actually in the U.S. Army, enlisted after he finished playing basketball. John Schoaf played for me at American University, was a four-year starter, and is playing professionally in Spain right now. Max Lennox, who also played for me, played at West Point. And then last year, Eric Bowles, class of 2015, is now playing up at Central Connecticut. So we've had our share as well, you know, in the 14 years or so I've been at Woodson, we've been blessed with some very good players.
And you had a walk-on at Georgetown, too, I believe.
Yeah, Steven Stucco walked on at Georgetown. I had another kid that walked on at Drake. Had a bunch of Division III players. Our best player this year, Matt Ayoub, is going to be playing at St. Mary's College over in Maryland. Very nice Division III program, you know, perennial top 25 type Division III team. So we've had our share. I mean, you know, it's everybody talks about coaching. Everybody says the X and O's. It's always about the players. You got players, you become a much better coach, that's for sure.
Our phone guest leading off the program is Doug Craig, head boys basketball coach at W.T. Woodson High School down in the DMV region. Doug, before we let you go, I know one of the big storylines down there was H.D. Woodson. And talking with some of the people down there, they didn't think they were respected coming into the season. And obviously they were kind of off the charts when the season started. And by the end of the season, they end up being one of the best teams in the country. So could you talk about, and there were some other subplots we talked about in previous shows as well that went along with that program this past year, but was that the story of the year down there, or what were some of the other big storylines down the DMV region?
Yeah, I think it would have to be. I mean, I think anytime a public school team goes 31 or 32-0, and they beat St. John's, they beat, I'm sorry, not St. John's, they beat Gonzaga in essentially the city title game. Antoine Walker is there, I believe there is his first name, Antoine, their big post player. Really good player. I know Coach has been there a long time and does a really good job. They've had a good program going for a few years now. I think that would probably be the biggest story, obviously, coming, you know, a little bit off the radar. I mean, they've been good for a while. I don't know if anybody expects them to do that. That's kind of the nature of the beast down there. When you're a public school, everybody looks at those Catholic League powers, the DeMathas, the Gonzagas, and St. John's, O'Connell, Paul Six, McNamara. Those are kind of the flag bearers, and there's some couple other schools. National Christian over Maryland's very good, and I don't want to leave in Riverdale Baptist. There's some other really good schools, but the public schools are always kind of thought of as a little bit less, not quite as good. To have a team like that come off the grid and have a great year and beat some of those teams along the way, I think says a lot. And I think there's a lot of good players. There's a lot of good basketball played in our area that isn't necessarily just in those top six or seven or eight private schools. There are a lot of good players, and on a given night, you know, teams can win. And I think the other big story, I think Westfield out our way in Virginia winning the 6A state title. It's the first time, I think, since 1981, a Fairfax County school won a state title in Virginia in boys basketball. It's been a long time coming. Doug Yule, Coach Yule, does a really, really good job. They have a kid, Tyler Scanlon, that's committed to Boston University, a very, very good player. Played his first 2 years at Paul Six and transferred back to his public school. I have another kid, Blake Francis, who's going to be a college player. Very good team. They actually lost our regional final, got upset by a pretty good Battlefield team, and then came back and won the state title. Like I said, first time since 1981. I think that's a big story. Probably getting a little bit washed out with what H.D. Woodson did. And I think they did a good job. St. John's down in D.C. won the Catholic League this year. Very, very good team. Coach McAloon, Sean McAloon, played at Randolph-Macon College. A very good coach. Coach Benedictine at Richmond for a couple years. Does a really, really good job with that program. They had a really, really good team this year. It's another year in the DMV. There's really good teams. But, H.D. Woodson, I mean, them coming off and going undefeated. And, you know, a couple of people, we were talking about them before that tournament started for the city title. And they were like, are they really that good? I'm like, if they're 28-0, they're good. I mean, anybody in high school, if you can win 27, 28 straight games with 16-year-old kids who, you know, if they get in a fight with their girlfriend are useless for about a week, you're good. And for them to go 31 or 32, whatever it was, is I think it's remarkable at that level, because even we've had really, really good teams in our area that, you know, competed nationally and haven't gone undefeated. Because it's just night in and night out, you're seeing somebody good. You know, somebody across the way can play. And it's tough to do, really tough to do with this age group of kids to go that many games without a loss.
Well, Doug, thanks so much for all your insight. Continued success down there at WT Woodson, and thanks for sharing your DMV thoughts with us this year.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Okay, thanks.
Looking forward to that. Doug Craig, the outstanding head basketball coach at WT Woodson, and a big thank you to Joe for not trying to take credit for all of Doug's success the last 15 years, where he has a great winning percentage, well over 600.
Acorns
which
and
has
trees.
Nothing
acorns
to do with you at all. All right, tonight's trivia question. Let's get to that and give people the chance to win before we introduce our special in-studio guests. It does deal with basketball, some college basketball variety for tonight's trivia question. Name a college basketball team that won the first ever NIT tournament. Name the college basketball team that won the first ever NIT tournament. That was some years ago. Here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with sports talk trivia.
And once again, tonight's question, name the college basketball team that won the first ever NIT tournament and a special prize giveaway. We're going retro today on the Sports Talk. In addition to the VOD certificate, you can also get a Shane Victorino bobblehead. So the Shane Victorino bobblehead, classic Phillies uniform. And his best years with the Philly was a fan favorite. Also, in addition to the certificate, you get a bobblehead, classic bobblehead. All right, introduce our special studio guest. After not just a fabulous year, but a fabulous series of years, we have from the Parkland boys basketball team, the head coach, Mr. Andy Stevens, and we're joined during the first half of our program here by Jack Dreisbach and Sam Iorio. Gentlemen, thanks for coming here, and congratulations on a phenomenal series of years. We appreciate you coming in. And the first question, Andy, to you is, and Joe touched on this last week on our show, we kind of wrapped up the high school basketball season mostly last week. But he mentioned that it's rare to have a team as good as you had and have them together. I mean, Devontae was contributing as a freshman, and then Jack and Kenny and Kyle came along shortly thereafter, and then Sam right after that. And, you know, the last couple of years were like, boy, this team's good. And they're all coming back again next year. What was it like to have that unit and then keep them together for a couple of years?
Well, as a coach, that's very rare for that to happen. And we knew years ago, Jack's father actually is one of my assistant coaches, and we've known each other for a long time, so we've had the opportunity to see Jack and that age group grow up together. So we knew we were getting something special. We just had to wait a few years, and I think the way that these the kids interacted with each other and on and off the court was really special. I always say you probably get that opportunity once every 10, 15, 20 years to have a team like this. And
some guys don't get it in their whole
career.
And
some don't get it at all. So I'm very fortunate as their coach. But to have them 2 years in a row, I mean more than 2 years, but really these last 2 years is really something special.
Yeah, and I think you and the coaching staff deserves credit because we've seen teams over the years that have all sorts of talent and then it doesn't mesh. I mean, you have them focus every game. I mean, you don't run, 25, I think, in a row this year. You had a great run last year. You don't have that consistency night in and night out if you don't have them focused and you don't have kids that respond to you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think my biggest job, especially when you have a really talented team, is number one, to create a winning culture, the expectation to win, be successful, but also have a good time doing it, and just create good chemistry. And I think our kids really bought into being unselfish, and different guys stepped up at different nights, on different nights. And if they didn't play like that, we would not have been nearly as successful. But I think the fact that they the fact that different guys did step up on different nights and they didn't get upset if they weren't getting their shots on a certain in a certain game, you really didn't see a whole lot of selfishness, and I think that's what made us so successful.
Yeah, and I think that's a tribute to the kids too, because I know
absolutely
you said that word a lot the last couple of years, is how unselfish this group is. Jack and Sam, we'll start with you. How do you decide who gets the ball on a given night, or I mean, you know, how do you divvy up the ball? And you know, if someone doesn't have a point by halftime, you don't panic. You don't, you know, how do you coexist?
Well,
so
Jack
well?
Shared it the most, and Kenny probably second, but.
Yeah, I don't know. It just really depends on how the game's going in the first half. Mm-hmm. You know, we all look for our shots in the beginning, and whoever has their shot falling, you know, we usually look for them. A lot of times it was Sam and Kyle. Sometimes it was me, Kenny, or Devontae, or someone off the bench. So really any given night it could have been any one of us.
Did you guys get so close that it was like, did you even have to call a timeout or talk about anything? It's like, hey, Sam's got the hot hand. He's hitting from, you know, 30 feet away here. Let's just give him the ball, or Kenny just starts firing. Did you ever have to talk about that, or did it, as the season went on, did it almost become instinctual that, okay, we're just going to go this way?
Yeah, for sure. I know, like, a lot of the times we'd see, you know, we're all, like, pretty good basketball players. We all like to score, but I think our biggest advantage over many other teams was our ability to share the ball and our willingness to share the ball. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, you know, we always look for the open guy, next open guy, and no one really cared if they got their shots. We just cared if, like, the team was doing well, and most of the time it was, so, yeah.
Sam, what did you end up shooting from three-point range? It was you and Kyle, I think, were shooting like 50, 55% all year long. Matt Fritz, who does a great job sending us stats, is like every week it's like you guys were putting up some tremendous number. Do you know how many threes you finished with or how well you were shooting?
I believe it was close to 70, but I'm not sure percentage. 70%? Nah, 70.
No, 70. Three points.
Oh, 73s. Yeah, I was going to say. Because even that would be extraordinary.
Yeah, no, but.
He tends to fudge his numbers a lot.
Yeah. But it's a tribute to Jack and, you know, Devontae, because they really control the ball on the offensive end. And they drive and kick really well. And we all pass and distribute the ball well. So if Kyle's hot the one night, we're. Look to get him the ball, and you know it can be any one of us on any given night, and that was the great thing about our team.
What did that feel like when you? I mean, in the championship, we're going to see video of it in a minute. You hit five in a row, and it was just like, you know, it was almost like Steph Curry, how his teammates, as soon as he releases a ball, his teammates are like, "Yeah, that's in. Let's go back and play defense." And the ball's not even halfway to the rim yet. Did you ever? What when you get in a groove like that? What does it feel like?
I'm for anyone, you know, it's just you when you want to get the ball, and if you feel like you're making it, it's a good feeling. And then that's when we realized that, all right, that one person's hot, let's try to get him the ball. And, you know, that night at the EPC Championship, I happened to have the hot hand, and my teammates did a great job of finding me. And we ended up, it was a really good game, and we ended up pulling it out at the end, and it was a great win for all of us.
Yeah, that was a great game, and we're going to speak about that in just a minute. Our special guests are Andy Stevens and members of the Parkland Boys basketball team. We're joined this segment and next segment by Jack Dreisbach and Sam Iorio. We have some other members of the Parkland basketball team coming up right after we take this timeout.
Looking to make an early move here and has the ball stolen away by Dreisbach. And in transition, it's Sam Iorio for Parkland. Martin can't get it high enough. And transition, it's Will Barr with the bucket. Baseline drive, nice pass. And a block by Dreisbach that won't sit too well with the Allen fans. Boom, bottom of the hole. Iorio for three. Iorio with 19.
What a move.
There goes Cross down the lane, kicks it out. Iorio, unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's his fourth triple. He's four for six. It's Iorio.
If Allen can get a stop here, it would be really big.
It's Stout. They've got to put it up now. Wide open. Wide open. And he hits again. He's five for five. Is Sam Iorio.
The schedule they play, they knew down the stretch that, you know, they give themselves a little bit of a gap, as you see the Eastern Pennsylvania Conference trophy awarded to the Parkland Trojans.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. We're honoring the Parkland boys basketball team after another phenomenal season with footage of that great EPC game. We're joined this segment once again by head coach Andy Stevens, Jack Dreisbach, and Sam Iorio. Joe wants me to make sure I clarify here. I was not comparing Sam to Steph Curry. I was saying, like Steph Curry, he gets a result. All and I just saw Kenny there when he was shooting that three.
All those coaches in the league are got. It's on. Already on bulletin boards. Next year, Sam.
You're interrupting the guest here. Let me ask.
Pressure's on.
That game, that EPC game, in addition to winning a championship, I had so many people say that was the best high school basketball they've seen in decades. Yeah. What was it like to be part of that game?
Probably took some years off my life.
It was very stressful.
And it did.
But it was good stress. You know, there's obviously a big difference between good stress and bad stress. And it was just a relief to, you know, Allen played so well. And it's funny, I said to Doug Snyder after the game how well they shot. I said, you guys didn't miss, you know, you didn't miss a shot. He said, you didn't either. And then we looked at the numbers afterwards, and I didn't realize how well we actually shot. So it was just a great game. Allen played phenomenal. I thought we played phenomenal. Yeah. And it's one of those games, you know, we're relieved and happy we won. You know, it's a shame someone had to lose, but certainly we'll take the victory.
Well, a game like that gets you ready, though, for playoffs.
Absolutely.
I mean, you get into a game, now you're going into the district play, and, I mean, that's big-time preparation.
Yeah. And when you're able, you know, when you're able to overcome a deficit and come back and win, I think they were up 7 at one point, pretty late. Yeah. I think it gives our kids a lot of confidence to know that we can come back.
Yeah, what was that? What are your memories from that game? Watching the footage and kind of reliving it here for a moment. What's going through your mind?
It was a really back and forth game. A lot of offense, not a lot of defense early on. But as the game wore on, as kids got more tired, you know, you got to dig in defensively. I think both teams did that, but. It was just a great offensive, defensive game, and it was just a great game to be a part of.
Yeah, one of the great defensive plays we saw in the highlights, Kyle made a block, and it started, and Sam, you were saying as you were watching it, that was your favorite play?
Yeah, you know, it was a key play in the first half, and that just shows you how we share the ball, because Kyle found me up the court, and I found Jack, and then I just happened to get open again. Jack found me right back for the three, and that just shows how good we could be, and Coach always stressed that defense. Least easy offense, and it really showed right there.
Yeah. What was it like putting up, because, you know, looking at the games you played, and you played some very tough non-conference teams too, and you battled them. Roman Catholic, of course, you had them early in the season, but when you look back at all the games you had this year, was there a moment that really stuck out from the regular season or games that you look and say, wow, we really did an awesome job on a particular night or a stretch of games in a row?
I'd have to say the Imhotep game earlier in the season went three overtimes, I believe. We had a lot of key starters foul out, and you know, guys off the bench just came in, did their job, and we ended up getting a 4-point victory, I think it was.
Yeah, 4.
Yeah, so it was just a really great game to be a part of, and it was a lot of fun.
Yep. Sam, besides the championships, were there any that stuck out in your mind?
I think it all started with us when we went to Villanova camp, to be honest, when we went 4-0 there, mm-hmm. and we played some good teams like Paul the Sixth. We ended up beating them in a really tough game, and Kyle played great that game. And that's just where it started. It built our confidence, and once we got going during the regular season, you know, we just try to keep the energy, momentum rolling, and that's what we really did.
One of the most common phrases I heard about the team this year was about Jack and how, you know, not just unselfish you were, but how great you played defensively and how you kind of like to gel. Mm-hmm. How did you kind of develop your role on the team and find that comfort level where on any given night you'd step up and you'd score a lot of offense, but you were so good at distributing the ball and finding the open guys? How did you develop that role?
Well, it came through practice and playing with these guys for a while. You know, I've been able to play with them and see what they can do offensively, and I know they can really shoot the ball and score the ball, so a lot of the times, you know, defense is the most important part. You know, when you have guys like this that can score, mm-hmm. you got to get stops, try to stop their best player from scoring, and, you know, I tried to do that most nights, try to give them the ball, get easy looks. When I scored a little bit, defenses might collapse on me, then leave them open, and it's just makes their jobs a lot easier and my job a lot easier when they're scoring a lot of points.
Yeah. You had more players in the rotation this year. Mm-hmm. How was that? Because, you know, just like last year when you had kind of two or three brought off the bench in your mm-hmm. regular rotation, this time you'd go a little bit deeper, and yet you never seemed to lose a beat. How was that working with more players in and having that chemistry?
Well, just going back, I just want to go back to, if we didn't have a player like Jack, we wouldn't have been nearly as successful, because you need a guy. I always call Jack the glue guy.
Yeah.
He almost every game guarded the best player. He totally unselfish. You know, nothing was self-serving for him. I mean, he just wanted the team to be successful. So, I mean, he had an unbelievable year, and I think he's going to have, you know, as most of these guys, some in different sports with football, but, you know, I think their best days are ahead of them, actually. Mm-hmm. They just happen to be on such a talented team this year that they had to sacrifice for the good of the group. And as far as your question, we were a little bit deeper this year. I knew that going in, that we'd be a little bit deeper than we were last year. Three guys in particular, I think Will Barr, as a senior, is a kid who, you know, he came a long way. We didn't know what to expect from him a year or two ago, and he proved a lot of people wrong. He really played well. Zach Bross is a great role player who came in and you know, gave us some really good minutes. And Michael Zeke, early in the year, especially when we were missing guys, did a great job. And yeah. Even Jake Bartholomew as well, who's a sophomore for us. But it, like anything, I know it's cliche, but you know, it was a total team effort. Our guys, you know, these Sam, I think, mentioned it before, but we're going to be pretty good next year because these guys faced, you know, I think you said that earlier at the morning call when we were there, but they faced these guys every day in practice. So our younger guys got better every single day in practice.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of game experience behind them, but they have a lot of really good competition behind them.
Is that kind of a benefit of not having players at the beginning of the year, that you got more
Absolutely.
Chances to play different
people? Yeah, it was
people?
A blessing in disguise. I mean, we were missing guys, but other guys stepped up, yeah. and it really was a blessing in disguise. And you know, I know the basketball guys, they go to the football games, they root for them. You know, I know Jim Morgans is a close friend of mine. I've known him, you know, since I was younger. And it's just one of those things, you know, we got behind them, rooted for them. They had a great year, and we felt that it would you know, be good karma. And it obviously helped us this year, the way things panned out.
That depth, that's part of the, it's a cliche, but the program.
Yeah.
The program builds that depth.
Yeah.
The better your program is, the more young players come up. They see a lot of good competition at practice, and that program's what builds
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And one other thing, I mean, obviously the focal point of our team next year is going to be Sam, but these young guys had to play behind, you know, the Devontae's and the Kennys and the Kyles and mm-hmm. the Jacks, and they haven't had a chance to really play, mm-hmm. so they're hungry, and, yeah. and they're going to want to play and prove themselves, and now they have that opportunity, so it'll be fun this summer to see who steps up and kind of elevates their game.
Yeah. Sam, how excited are you to look to next year? You're coming back. You lose some great teammates here, but you know, your role's probably going to change a little bit, and you know, you're familiar with some of the people you're going to be playing with next year.
Well, yeah, I'm definitely going to miss my teammates. You know, the bond we had over these past couple of years, we became really close, and we're all really like almost best friends. We hang out a lot, so I'll miss them. But you know, I'm looking forward to my last year, and I think we got a lot of good kids that could come up and potentially step up and be just as good scorers as and step into their roles. And Michael Zeke specifically, I think he's going to come a long way this year, and hopefully we can have that leadership role that others in the past provided for us when we were coming up.
Yeah. And Jack, you're looking to play at the next level, I believe, next year in college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you want to name any names or throw any names out there, or just keep it? You're still looking.
Yeah, it's down to DeSales or the University of Scranton.
Two very good schools.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Our last question with Jack and Sam here. It's going to be our thumbs up, thumbs down question. This is where we identify someone or a group of people in the world of sports for doing something really well, or singling out someone for doing something not so good. I got some props last week for mentioning the Flyers, but I also got some complaints because I didn't give a thumbs up to the Washington Capitals, and I actually saw them play the other day. Boy, they are good. They deserve a definite thumbs up. Probably the best team in the conference, and really I don't think any team's going to be in the class with them. Flyers might have a chance of making the playoffs, unless they throw out a little clunker like they had the other night. But thumbs up to the Washington Capitals. We'll probably be talking about them in a few weeks. Joe?
Thumbs down for a change. Chip Kelly. He was interviewed yesterday by all the media, new coach and of San Francisco, and he said that he wasn't responsible for the Eagles' problem that last year, and he never asked to have the power of personnel and all that. Yeah, give me a break. Step up. Be a man. You know, it's crazy.
Your idol.
I'm sorry.
Coach Stevens? Who would you like to give a thumbs up?
I'll pawn it. Go ahead. You guys have this one.
All right, I'd like to give a thumbs up to Noel Brouse. He's one of our seniors this year, mainly for his work ethic and practice. And after we won championship games, his positioning on pictures, you know, he would try to get right to the front, which is a great place to be, and he'd stick his finger up and go, like this, like number one. So everyone knew we were number one. And I just thought that was a really great thing, and I just wanted to give him a shout out for that.
Well, that's part of his role, right?
Team morale.
Yeah. All right, Sam, how about you? Would you like to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
I got to give a thumbs up to Will Barr. You know, he really proved everyone wrong. And not coming up, no one had really any faith in him. And the kid's a gym rat. He's probably the hardest worker on the team, to be honest. He's always in the gym, always texting me, calling me, let's go lift, let's go just play one-on-one, let's go do anything. So, and he really stepped up, and without his role play, we definitely wouldn't have been as successful, because he really helped us when we needed a break or anything. He stepped up at big times, and he made big shots and just made key plays. So thumbs up to Will.
Ended up being one of your first people off the bench.
Yeah,
you never seemed to lose a step.
And a lot of people didn't expect that, but he really stepped up his game.
All right, very good. We'll have more from the Parkland boys basketball team, more highlights talking about their District 11 championship. We have emails coming in. We'll get to that, and we also have a trivia question out there. Name the college basketball team that won the first ever NIT tournament. It is a tough one because you do have to go back a little bit, but that is tonight's question. More RCN Sports Talk coming up right after this break.
They won that ball game with a good victory, primarily because of terrific defense. 57-40, they beat PMW. And when you look today, Emmaus wins by, what, 8? And Sam Iorio just does what he does best. His 66. Wide open Iorio, he waits, puts it up and in. Parkland against its zone, can throw over that zone. They can shoot over it, but they can throw over it also. Inside Iorio, Devontae Cross with a pump fake. He'll take it all the way up and no. Rebound, Kenny Yeboah. Bars open, he's a deadly shooter. He's very active. They do a good job moving as a unit. Iorio, however. Oh, man. Iorio knocks down his second of the night, his 63rd of the year.
To the Parkland Trojans as they win this ball game, 68-49.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. We're honoring the District 11 4A champs along with the EPC champions once again this year, Andy Stevens and the basketball team, boys basketball team from Parkland High School. We're joined this segment by Kenny Yeboah and Kyle Stout. You saw a couple of their highlights in action as they won the District 11 4A title. Guys, thanks for coming in here. First of all, what was your thoughts about that District 11 championship? I know not a lot of people thought Bangor would be your opponent in that championship. Joe, of course, predicted them to lose in the first round, which the Bangor people will not let him forget.
I thought Whitehall would beat them.
But Bangor had a great run. And what was your thoughts on that District 11 championship game?
I mean, they're a great team. I think the head of that team, they have a great point guard and coach. They really run the show well. And, I mean, it was a great atmosphere to play in, just like the league championship. Both sides were packed, and the stands were filled. And it was a lot of fun to play in that game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bangor people always support their teams, and that was a great atmosphere. Kenny, what do you remember that district championship?
Well, I mean, definitely. I mean, Bangor brought a lot of people with them, like usually Parkland side does and stuff like that. So, I mean, definitely was fun to play against them. They had a good point guard, Mike Martino, and good coach after the game. They were all telling us good luck in states and stuff like that. So they're really good people, and it was fun playing against them. Yeah.
Kyle, I want to ask you about your three-point shooting, because you actually did have more threes than Sam. It was, I think, over 80 threes this year. What was your secret to success? And did, you know, is that something people can bottle out there? Because, you know, to shoot 50% from three-point range and hit as many as you did, that's something special to watch.
I mean, I think it's something you're able to bottle if there's one player who can do that. But I think when you have so many people who can shoot the ball like we do on our team, as well as that, I think it's hard to do it for all of us, like me, Sam, Jack, Devontae. Mm-hmm. And like you said earlier, Jack could take all those shots, probably make just as many, but he decides to defer to us, which really shows something about his character and his intelligence on the court. But I think when we have as many people as we do who can shoot the ball, I think it's tough to do.
Well, it's a dilemma for the opposition. I mean, who do you defend? Mm-hmm. I mean, you just can't be on everybody, you know, like if somebody only has one guy that can shoot the three. But when you have three, four guys, actually, even Kenny, I know, can shoot the three, too. I've seen him do it. It's almost impossible to defend.
Did any of them ever not have a green light to shoot? I know you were saying during the break, Kenny. You were trying to get Kenny to shoot threes more?
You know what? I think, you know, I never have the conversation with kids. Like, you can only take this shot. I would never do that. Mm-hmm. Green light might be a little strong of a phrase. I think they kind of figured out who was supposed to be shooting, and I think most teams do year in. And year out, Kenny did develop a nice mid-range jump shot, and in practice, he really didn't, in live practice, he really didn't take that many threes, if any at all, but just in warm-ups, him shooting around, he does have a nice touch, but mm-hmm. I think he's intelligent, he's unselfish, and he's smart enough to know that we'd rather have other guys shooting those majority of the time, but you know, what a great year both of these guys had for us.
Yeah. Kenny, there was a story that came out midway through the year about you were told to shoot a little bit more often. Yeah. Was that the case? Did you ever think that, you know, I should shoot a little bit more? Or kind of take us through how you looked at your role on the team.
I mean, usually I just sit at the block and I just wait for Sam or Kyle to pass me, or Jack or Devontae to pass me the ball. I mean, they're not unselfish, and I just usually look to score every time I'm in the post unless I get double teamed mm-hmm. or to pass it out. I mean, sometimes I would try to sit in the short corner and shoot maybe like one or two jump shots a game. Coach always told me to shoot when I can, so that's what I try to do.
Kyle, how did you develop that mix? Because as we were talking about with Jack and Sam, you know, it was so smooth how you would just kind of decide on the fly who had the hot hand and find that person. What was that chemistry like? And when did it first kind of develop for you? I know you played together for so many years.
I think it's part of the offense we run. We don't have that many sets. We run a couple here and there, but it's a lot of motion and moving around. And once you move around for so long, defenses get tired. And usually that leads to open shots. And like you said, Kenny's in the post a lot. He's great vision out of the post. And I think once you get it there, and if he has a hot hand, they double a lot, which leaves us open on the perimeter.
Yeah. One question I want to ask Kenny. I was going to ask Devontae. He's down out of the area for the holidays. So I'll ask you to answer in place of Devontae, but this applies to Kenny too.
Okay.
You're both great football players and basketball players, and I'm more of a basketball guy. I would have loved to see you play at the next level. So kind of what, Kenny, we'll start with you. What made you decide to stick with football as opposed to playing at basketball, which you certainly could have done that as well?
I mean, I was definitely getting recruited more for football, so I guess I just leaned more towards that way. But my passion for basketball is just as much as it is for football. So, I mean, just love playing both. I'm a competitive player just like Devontae and stuff like that. So I guess it's just the way I was recruited.
Yeah, so more opportunities there for you.
Yeah.
Was Devontae kind of the similar situation?
They were both in the same position. You know, to tell you the truth, I really thought Devontae was going to end up playing college basketball.
Yeah.
I think the highest offer that he received was George Mason, offered him a scholarship over this past summer, and but his level was a little bit higher in football, and he made that decision. You know, I don't think any pressure was put on him. I think it was up to him, and he decided to go that route. And Kenny definitely, you know, he could play at a lot of different schools basketball, no doubt about it. But you know, he's just, they're just so athletically gifted that in football their ceilings were a little bit higher. And, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. I'm sure they're both going to miss playing organized basketball a lot. But basketball is the type of game that, you know, later in life they could play summer leagues and get back together.
It's a lifetime sport.
They'll always have fun with it. So, again, just proud of all these guys. I think all of them are going to flourish in college and have great careers. Yeah. And, you know, I think, like I said before, I think their better days are actually ahead of them.
Yeah, and when you use adjectives the last couple of years about being unselfish and good character guys and talking with them, you know, that's going to go a long way to their success in life, really.
Absolutely. And the greatest compliment that I receive all the time from people that I know and trust and sometimes just, you know, strangers that come up to me, they just always compliment, "We love watching your team play."
Yeah.
"Wow, they're so fun to, you know, they're so..." And they use the word unselfish, but like you said, I mean, there's not a lot of dribbling, there's a lot of passing, and they move the ball and they share the ball. And they were just a pleasure to coach. Just great, great, great basketball players, but even better kids off the court.
Yeah, they pass well too, which is sometimes a forgotten art.
It is in the age in the last couple of years with dribble drive offense and trying to beat guys off the dribble. And these guys just move the ball and found the openings and took advantage. And when you can play the way they can play, it is easy to coach, but to get them to buy in sometimes is difficult, and they definitely bought in, and that's a credit to them.
All right. Once again, we still have that trivia question out there. Name the college basketball team that has won the first ever NIT tournament. So we need you to correctly identify who won the first NIT tournament. No correct answers through the emails, but we do have several email questions for these guys here. Kenny asks, I know that you did not lose to a team in the Lehigh Valley during this past year, but what do you think was the toughest team to play?
For Kenny?
Yeah. No, it's from Kenny.
Oh, from Kenny.
But Kenny, you're welcome to answer. Someone named Kenny out there wants to know the toughest team to play.
Defensively, maybe Allen, I think, because they were just like, as athletic as we were and stuff like that, and they were just really determined. Yeah. So I guess I would say Allen.
Kyle, how about you?
I'm going to have to go with Allen, too. I think when they come to play, they bring a certain mindset, a little bit of swagger in their game. And they got really hot when they played us in the championship from the outside. And they usually like to attack the basket. Mm-hmm. And I think when we played them, they had a really good outside jump shot going, too. And when that puts together, they're a really tough team to beat.
You were really tested over the last couple of years because everybody was trying to come up with some kind of strategy to slow you guys down. We'll slow it down, speed it up, do this, half-court trap, let's sag off. And nothing really seemed to work. But you kind of handled that on any given night. You'd see a new look, and you guys kind of handled that. Yeah. Couple more emails here. Jeff, incorrect answer with a trivia question. An interesting guess there. But he would like to know, as far as coming back for next year, which players besides Sam will return? You mentioned Mike already. Will graduates.
Will graduates. Yeah. There's a couple. Mike, the ones that Zach Bross comes back, and Michael Zeke and Jake Bartholomew, those are guys that got some minutes this year. But there's some other kids along the way that we're expecting good things from. We have a young player in he's a freshman this year, Logan Rindock. His brother Nick played a couple years ago.
Him.
He's a good player. We have guys, Matt Persichetti, Tyler Gurman. Who am I missing, guys? Guys that are going to come and...
Another Gurman.
Yeah, different Tyler. Family.
Oh, different family. Oh, that rings a bell, that one.
I see.
A.C. Kelly's a big kid that if he gets stronger and works real hard, he could have an impact. So there's definitely, like I said, I mean, we don't have a lot of experience coming back, obviously. But what we do have is we have guys that are battle-tested in practice that have played against guys that are really, really good. And it might take half a year until they really figure things out, but I think we'll be pretty good next year.
All right, one more email. I got to squeeze this one in. This is from Andy Weaver. He says, please tell Andy Weaver congrats on a great season. And he says, thanks, happy Easter. And signs his name, Andy Weaver, president of the Andy Stevens fan club.
Oh, nice. So,
there you go.
Gotta love the Weave.
Yeah, he's the president now of about 18 fan clubs.
Yeah, depends
on who's
he's
on the
active
show.
Guy.
Kyle, I want to ask you about Lafayette, though. Fran O'Hanlon was here a few weeks ago. He is very excited to see you be part of the program. Your thoughts on coming to Lafayette and being part of that program?
I mean, I'm really anxious to get there now that the season's over. They have a great program there. I mean, they have great coaches and great guys on a great school. Great academic. Not only is it great basketball-wise, but academically, which is a major reason why I picked it. Mm-hmm. But I think with that mix, I hopefully can be very successful there.
And you're going to play against a very competitive teams. That league has got some pretty good basketball in it. But you're perfect for that program. The kind of game you play,
is perfect.
The way you shoot, you're perfect for the Lafayette program. You really are.
I mean, I think the
and we all get to watch you play by the regular.
Yeah.
We get to watch you on a regular basis, which is nice.
Yeah, that's nice. My parents, too. They always have been big supporters of me throughout my whole entire life. And having them be able to come to my games will mean a lot to me. Yeah. But like you said, their offense, it's kind of a motion offense they run too, which a little more structure to it, I think. Mm-hmm. But I think based on the offense we ran, it'll be a little bit easier for me to pick up on that.
It's going
to
be great.
All right, our special guests are Andy Stevens, and we're joined this segment and the next segment with Kenny Yeboah and Kyle Stout, our final segment coming up. But right now it is Joe's favorite part of the show. It's time for Joe's Take, where Joe gets 60 seconds to sound off and talk about anything in the world of sports that he would like to address, and I'm not allowed to interrupt him.
No, and don't do it. Listen, let's get straight on one thing. Do you realize that the team in the top five in the Grapefruit League are the Phillies? Phillies fans, don't go nuts. It's Grapefruit League. It doesn't mean a lot. I know that Franco and Roof are hitting home runs. We got a long way to go, okay? We'll be happy to get 70, 75 wins. Don't get too excited. That's Joe's Take.
And what you don't know is Joe was out this afternoon buying his World Series tickets. Our final segment with Andy Stevens and members of the Parkland Boys basketball team right after this timeout. And a reminder, still looking for a correct answer to the trivia question. We appreciate the email guesses tonight, but we're looking for the correct answer. We need the name of the college basketball team that won the first ever NIT tournament. You'll probably have to do some homework on this and go back a few ways because the NIT has been around for quite a while. So email, if you're watching us on replay or through the podcast or video on demand, email the correct answer to us, rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Email rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Email the correct answer, and we'll have the Answer revealed. Correct answer revealed on next week's show, which, by the way, will feature previews of the Nationals and the Phillies next Thursday. All right, an abbreviated version of the roundtable since Joe talked too much earlier on tonight's program. So we're just going to touch on a couple topics here. Kyle wants to take a shot at our number four question tonight. What's the next big upset in the NCAA tournament? Kyle, where's the next upset coming from?
I think I'm going to take Gonzaga. I think if they get past Syracuse, I think they have a real shot getting to the Final Four, taking down Virginia. I think they have consistent post play with Wiltshire and Sabonis. They can really stretch the floor too. And I think if their guards get hot, they're very quick. If they get hot from outside, I think they can really put up a fight against Virginia.
Very good. I wish you could co-host this program, by the way. We finally got rid of Joe here. Very good analysis. All right, in less than a minute, but Kenny and Andy, our other question here for you. Who will have the better season, Kirk Cousins, Sam Bradford, or RG3, who earlier today signed with the Cleveland Browns?
Let me go first. I just want to go back. There were two names that I forgot.
That's right.
We had a really good JV year out of Casey Brouse. Noel's younger brother. So we're hoping that he can be competitive. And Justin Lessel, who's a junior, is another good player coming up. So we're hoping that Justin competes and all these guys will compete and I think will be very good. Kenny, I'll let you take the question first.
Go ahead. I think I'm going to go with RG3.
RG3. I liked him, too. I wish the Eagles were going to sign him.
I'm going to go with him because he's been one of my favorite quarterbacks coming out of college when he played at Baylor. I really liked him and stuff like that. Right, I mean, he tore his ACL and all that, so I definitely...
Best of luck to you guys. Thanks so much for being here, Andy, and congratulations on another great year. We'll see you next week on another edition of RCN Sports Talk Live next Thursday. Good night, everyone.